Gail Chadwick of the Christian Science Monitor are lawmakers listening to Glenn Beck.
You know, what's striking to me about this is how little talk there is of Glenn Beck in particular. There is a kind of pulling together on Egypt that I haven't seen in Washington since I've been here. It's a return to the old adage that partisanship stops at the water's edge.
We're talking to Gail Chadwick of the Christian Science Monitor. She's at the Monitor Studios in Washington. And Gail, we just touched very briefly on Glenn Beck, who, as we said, is saying that the uprising in Egypt is part of a conspiracy involving people on the American left. And I know that we're going to hear from listeners who don't want to hear about Glenn Beck, but we're reminded of, you know, before the war in Iraq, when people on the right were talking about how Osama bin Laden and Saddam Hussein were such good friends, when in fact the two men hated each other. People laughed at that notion that they were good friends, and the next thing we knew, we were at war. So we thought it would be a good idea to just find out how Beck's voice is resonating, and you were saying not much.
There is a very strong push in Washington right now, given the stakes here and given the uncertainties, to just be quiet. I haven't seen this on foreign policy since I've been here. You're seeing on the Senate side Republicans springing to the president's support, and even when the White House has shifted ground, the Republicans have shifted with him. The message is, we have one president, we have one Secretary of State, and they're carrying the ball on this. This is, I think, another old adage in Washington. You can't lose an election for a speech you don't give. And given the stakes, given the uncertainties, given that Congress doesn't have to take the lead on this, a lot of people are simply not speaking.
Well, but then you have Kentucky Tea Party Senator Rand Paul, who says he wants to cut all foreign aid, including to Egypt. And we know that
absolutely.
You know, the U.S. funds their military.
But look at the context. The number one issue on Capitol Hill right now is spending and debt. And it's very difficult to do two things at once when the stakes are as high as they are on the spending issue. Rand Paul was figuring out how to cut $500 billion, and he simply said, let's get rid of all foreign aid. Standard of living in Israel is pretty high. We shouldn't be helping them. He didn't couch it as a foreign policy or a military issue. He couched it simply as a financial one. We can't afford it, full stop.
Well, then you have John Kerry, a Democrat from Massachusetts, saying that the president's not doing enough to tell Mubarak he should leave now. But we're also reading Carl Bernstein and others writing that Washington is slowly realizing that one of the problems is that if Mubarak leaves, the Constitution requires that the person who takes over is the, you know, reviled, corrupt speaker of Egypt's parliament. So everybody's trying to figure out a way to sort of stall things.
And they're also realizing the limits of American power here. I mean, I find the split within the conservative community especially interesting. You know, people who were shoulder to shoulder on fighting in Iraq now falling out. Bill Kristol of the Weekly Standard, strong attack on Glenn Beck, you know, hysteria. He said, are conservatives so fearful of a popular awakening that they will side with the dictator over the Democrats?
Well, you know, it's an interesting, I'm just going to jump in and say that it was so interesting to see, especially Glenn Beck, who's so associated with the Tea Party. You know, you're hearing people in Egypt saying that they want their government back, which is almost the same phrase.
Well, exactly. And that's the point Kristol is making. Sarah Palin, you know, we need to find out who is behind the turmoil and the revolts and the protest. Now, Bill Riley, the longer he stays, he said to President Obama in an interview on Sunday, the longer Mubarak stays, the more people will die. You know, the president didn't respond to that. But that sense that something is suspicious here, we need to be very concerned. No one has said it quite as stridently as Glenn Beck, and certainly not to link it to the American left. I think that's the part that sent shockwaves. But Congress isn't, you know, they're just not taking the bait. They don't want to be drawn into it.
But to be clear, you know, the neoconservatives seem to be split beyond Glenn Beck. Are any of them moving away from Israel, or are they just moving towards what they recognize as a popular uprising?
I would say Israel is the number one concern, both on Capitol Hill and among the so-called neocon community. Take people like Elliot Abrams, Charles Krauthammer, John Bolton, former ambassador. They all are talking more and more about the role of the army, that the Egyptian army, no matter what happens, is going to be, you know, the key mediator of this dispute and will still be in power at the outset, that at the outcome. That is what they hope will happen. And there, that's the direction. You know, let's talk less about the street and let's focus more attention on the military and their capacity for stability. Because I think what underlies concerns from both the extreme right, Glenn Beck, to a lesser extent Sarah Palin, is what the outcome could be. Could it be Iran again? You know, are we going to come up with something quite a bit worse? And that's where I think you see the most interesting and perhaps enduring split within the conservative community. Do we go back to our constitutional roots? Do we favor, you know, revolution? Look, reread the Declaration of Independence. Doesn't that sound like what the Egyptians are doing? Or do we cling to a sense of what best promotes stability in the region at a time when oil prices are $100 a barrel again and inflation looks like it might return? Now, very big stakes here. Aren't we better off going slow, continuing to support the military, and saying less about Mubarak moving quickly? You'll notice John Kerry on Sunday did not speak as strongly as he did in his op-ed in the New York Times on Tuesday.
Yeah. That's Gail Chadwick. She covers Congress for the Christian Science Monitor. Of course, we're having a conversation about how this is being viewed in Washington, understanding that, you know, there are protesters on the street in Cairo who could care less what Washington wants. We understand that. Gail, we'll have you back to talk about the other business that's taking place. The president's budget comes out next week. His budget director saying today the easy cuts in spending are behind us. So the hard stuff lays ahead. We'll have you back to talk about that. Gail, thanks so much.
You're welcome. Thank you.